Sairam, we offer our most loving pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. We had a wonderful weekend, which I'm sure all of us have enjoyed. We have enjoyed it doubly. I have a privilege here to introduce my brother, Srikant. Well, he's much junior to me, but it was a pleasure watching him grow in front of us in the hostel life. Srikant studied at the school from 6th grade and he did his master's there. In fact, Bhagwan once told him, "You have lived with me more than your own parents." So whatever he has learned, whatever he is, I'm sure it is mainly because of Bhagwan. He's presently is grown up as a very fine young man, and he's taking a lot of responsibility even in the normal world other than his job. Today he holds as a president's position for the Boston Center. So he is also very active, guiding other youths, and I would not take much time. Brother Srikant, please share your thoughts. Thank you.
Sairam, we have had a wonderful session so far. It was beautiful to listen to both Janima and Kalasu. In fact, I have had the privilege to know their daughter Shanti very well from the Los Angeles area. And she's, as they have brought her up, it's beautiful. In the next few minutes, actually, we'll come down from the, I guess, the atmic reality down to very hard. I was thinking about this because what we'll share is stories of us and Swami, so it's still a duality there. But at the same time, I think I'll take their permission to come down there and share some of the thoughts. Share some of the thoughts on our life there in Puttaparthi. Actually, there are so many of us here who have been Swami students. You've heard many people sing yesterday with wonderful experiences. So in the next few minutes, we'll try to share a few of the stories as we spent our student life there. So it is not particularly, oh, I was there, I got this, or Swami made a chain for me. It's not that. I think it is the message in every incident with Swami carries out so that everybody can learn something. So please don't feel that, oh, being a student there and, you know, it's different, you get different chances. But I think the opportunity is for everybody. I think the learning is for everybody. My family came to Swami very, very early. So I was very, very lucky to actually be born in a household where my parents were already devotees. And right from the early age, I was part of the Bal Vikas program, or the SSE, as we call it here. And so right through my training, I was always in the, I guess, the different activities and things like that. So my first experience actually was, I did a play before Swami when I was about 6 years old. And Swami asked me, what is your name? And I still remember that day beautifully in my mind. It's, although I was very, very young, but, you know, that was the first time Swami spoke to me. So, and it was very, very special. It might have happened many, many times after that, but then the first time Swami does it is very, very beautiful. And after that, subsequently, I got a chance, actually, on one of Swami's visits to Madras. And actually, this time when Swami went for the Atirudra Mahayagnam, it was after so many years to Madras. Before, it used to be a given that Swami would go to Madras in January. January 19th is the Sundaram opening day. So similar to how now Swami goes to Vrindavan at the end of March, it was pretty much a given. Swami used to come to Madras. I'm sure people are here from Madras and they know that. So this was a big thing after Swami came after 10 long years to Madras. Anyway, I had the opportunity to give the welcome talk when Swami came. So it was a hall and Swami was sitting at the... So the plan was this, that Swami would come to the room. He would sit at the center of the hall. And as soon as he sits down, I would start my talk. So it was all well laid out. And Swami came, sat on the chair, and I started my talk. But something happened contrary to the plan, because Swami, instead of sitting there through the entire talk, got up and then came where I was standing and speaking. So, and if that was not enough, he stood right in front of me. and he kept staring into my eyes. Maybe next time when if we have a chance, I'll show you pictures of that. And I still have the picture where Swami stood there and kept staring in my eye. And what would I do? I looked elsewhere because I was very scared because I was 10 years old, actually 9.5 years old. And I was a little bit afraid that, you know, it was the whole Sundaram temple. There were so many people. And if you stop your talk there, it might look ugly. So I looked elsewhere and I think I did a good job. I completed the talk. So immediately after I finished the talk, I looked at Swami. So and Swami was in that same position the entire time. This went for about 10 minutes or so. And after that, Swami actually looked at me and said, "How many days practice?" So I immediately said, "Swami, it was 10 days practice or something." And then Swami said, no. He corrected me and said it was 11 days or something like that. And then he spoke to me for a while, and he was talking to me in Tamil and English, a little bit of a mix of that. And suddenly he switched over to Telugu and said something to me. And I didn't know Telugu at that time at all. Now I can understand a little bit. But at that time I could not even repeat that to somebody who could translate it for me. So it was very hard that way. So those words, I didn't know what happened. And next year, subsequently, I joined Puttaparthi for my 6th grade. And my only motivation, I still think today, was my parents never wanted me to go to Swami school. They never forced me or anything like that. So it was purely my choice, and I wanted to apply there. And when I think back, whenever I used to visit Puttaparthi, I used to want to play on the swing and the elephant and all that in the primary school. You must have seen those. There's the elephant slide and things like that. But if you're not a student, we don't have access beyond the gate. So I showed my mother that and I said I wanted to play or something like that when I was 6 or 7. And my mother said the only way you can do that is if you're a Swami student. So that was purely my motivation, I think back now, because I never had anything else. So I wrote the entrance exam, and then that's how I thought I joined the school. And was there from the 6th grade onwards in the primary school. So many years later, when I was doing my master's, I was doing my physics master's, and that was like 12, 13 years later, Swami had called us inside the interview room, and there were two groups of devotees, and Swami was always, when there is a student along with the devotee, Swami will take great pride in introducing you to them. And he will say, "Oh, he's first in this, he's first in that, he's good in this Veda chanting, he's good in speaking." He will say all these things. And many of those things, for us, we know it may not be true. But at the same time, Swami wants us to rise to that level. I think that is the key thing there. It's not that Swami is making something up. It is just for us to rise to that level. And Swami immediately said all that. And then he said, "I told him to come and join my school. And that is why he came and joined my school." Now, this is something I clearly know Swami didn't tell me. So I was just thinking in my mind, when did Swami never said that to me? So Swami knew that when I made the look on my face, he knew that question was there in my mind. And immediately he looked at me and said, "Remember that day you spoke in Sundaram? Didn't I tell you this in Telugu?" he said. So this was like so many, many, many years later, and there is one person. Think of how many people Swami caters to, of those who physically are there in Puttaparthi and those everywhere else. But at the same time, the one connection which he has with everybody, irrespective of whether we go to Puttaparthi or we are here or we are where, it doesn't matter. We have heard beautiful stories of, actually in the same tone, I'll tell you a story where Swami promised actually one of the dignitaries in Gautamala that he would come to his 60th birthday celebration. This was the husband and wife. They had visited Puttaparthi, and the wife requested Swami, saying that it's going to be his 60th birthday. We have a huge party at home. And Swami, you have to come. And Swami, like he's Swami, Swami cannot say no. He said, "Yes, I will be there." But at the same time, his words have to be true too. So the day came, and she had set up a beautiful... She believed totally. Swami said he would come, he would come. There was no question in her mind that Swami would not come. And so she set up at the head of the table Swami's chair, and then everybody's chairs were set around that. And everybody came. It was a function in the evening. And she knew that Swami had not yet come. She was waiting for Swami to come. And she didn't know how he was going to come, but she was waiting. And then it was 6:30, and then everybody was getting impatient, so they needed to start the party. And so they started the party, and then they had left Swami's chair as it is. And you know, she was disappointed. In her mind, she was thinking, Swami said he would come, but he didn't come. So this was in her mind. And when the pictures came, it was Swami was not seated on the chair. He was there in the wine glass which each of them were drinking from. In fact, the person whose 60th birthday it was, he was drinking wine, and in that, Swami's picture was there. This is such a beautiful incident because it teaches us multiple things. First of all, Swami keeps his promise. Second thing is, we would have thought, oh, Swami might appear on his chair there. Swami appearing in a wine glass, drinking wine, is it a good thing, bad thing? We end up analyzing, we end up judging people, right? We think, oh, they drink wine, or, you know, they do this thing, or they do that thing. This incident beautifully tells us that we are no one to judge. I think Swami appears to each of us wherever he needs to, and we just accept it. Like they said, just be in the moment. I think that's the most beautiful thing. I'll share a couple more interesting stories. Actually, living our life there with Swami, Bhimanyu said that, Swami mentioned that to me, and I still think of that moment when Swami said, think of how many days you were there with your parents and think how many days you spent with me. I was about 22 at that time, and I was with my parents till I was about 9. So the remaining years I was with Swami. So he said, physically you have been with me much more. And especially when you grow up there and through your entire student life, Swami makes sure that, I guess, he brings you up in every way. If you see every Sai student, invariably they will be able to chant Vedas. They're able to stand up and speak. They're able to, sing. Everybody will be, you may not be born talented, but I guess over a period of time, Swami makes sure that you have all these different faculties. And he wanted us to excel in everything. I think that was, being an ideal Sai student is excelling in every aspect where Swami wanted us to excel. So there was one time when I was actually supposed to speak. Swami had asked me to speak before his talk on the Dashara day in Puttaparthi. During the Dashara time, Swami used to give talks for like 10 days in a row. The Yajnam goes on, and then Swami has two speakers before his talk, and then he has his talk, which is pretty standard in Puttaparthi. But very often when we stand up there to address the audience, we think, oh, we are here. Swami has asked me to speak before 30,000 people, 40,000 people. It really doesn't matter. It just sets the mood, and then Swami is there to give his discourse, and everybody is waiting there for Swami's discourse. But very often when we stand up there, our ego is there, and we think, oh, we are here to address all these people. But then Swami has his ways that, He will make sure that he gets the lesson out to you. So Swami had asked me to speak on the third day before his talk. And I was getting ready. And then Swami suddenly came up to me and said, no, you don't speak on the third day. You speak on the ninth day, which is the Ayudha Puja day. There'll be a lot of crowd. So this was just see every detail I'll mention here, just to show you how much, to what extent Swami goes to kind of make sure everything is good. But at the same time, you feel you are the doer. So on the ninth day, Swami said, there will be a lot of people on that day you speak. Now, the thing with my speaking was, I used to sing songs also while speaking. And Swami said, when you can sing, why don't you sing and speak? So like how I give discourse, and if you sing and speak, those who are sleeping will wake up too when there is a song. So that's a nice technique to speak. Swami said, see, I give discourse for an hour. So if somebody is tired, they're going to sleep through that. So instead, if I sing in between, they will wake up. So that was a nice technique. And then Swami used to sit with, whoever speaks. So in this case, I was speaking. Swami used to sit and come, pick the songs and the talk and everything and see how it's synced up in the order and things like that. But this is something, I just want to mention this. This is something which is not evident to people outside or, even to the other students. Very often we think, oh, it's Swami's there and then somebody has been asked to speak before. But Swami puts so much effort into every thing that is planned. I'm sure Janima and Kalasu will share that too. When before any program and things like that, Swami always checks what are the different songs that you're singing. And it goes on for days and days, actually. Then it really tells you that to the amount Swami plans everything. For us, it may appear very simple. He's just coming there for darshan, goes around, takes letters, calls a few people, talks to them, retires. This is what we see. But then Swami does so much planning behind the whole thing, to the extent of what sari should be given to whom, what clothes should be given to whom, or what different things which Swami gives out at festival times. All these things are so well planned by Swami. In fact, I always mention this, to the extent of signing the salary checks for the professors and the medical doctors who serve there, Swami does it himself even today. So to that extent, Swami is involved in the details of running the organization itself. So in this case, so Swami had sat through and, you know, discussed the different songs that I should sing and then the talk itself. And we had pretty much decided on the entire song, and then And then we didn't have a song to start the talk with. So Swami asked me, what all do you know? And then I said a few songs. And Swami said, no. This was all, I guess he didn't like any of those. And immediately he said, you think, I'll think, and then we'll decide. So sometimes when you're very close, you fall into that maya of where he's like, you think and I will think and then we will decide. Anyway, so that is what it was. And next day, the bhajans were going on. And I think this bhajan was sung yesterday in the evening. Mukti Pradayini, Prema Pradayini, Shanti Pradayini Ma, Jayama. I think the Dallas devotees, they sang in the evening yesterday. So that bhajan was going on at that time. One of the students was singing that bhajan. And suddenly somebody patted me from the back. And then Swami was standing there and he said, this bhajan is very beautiful. You start your talk with this bhajan. That's what he told me. So pretty much everything was set in terms of the talk. And on the eighth day, as I guess ordained, I had a fever, very high fever, and I was a little bit, when you're sick, invariably you can give a talk maybe, but singing invariably you go off Shruti or, you know, it's off key and it doesn't sound too good at that point. So I was a little bit scared, and I kind of went up to Swami and I said, you know, Swami was like, are you ready for the talk next day? And then I said, Swami, I'm having a fever. And then he said, don't worry, I will send the doctor to the hostel. So I went back to the hostel, and then the doctor came and he gave me an injection and all that. In the morning, I was still not doing too great, but I was okay. But Swami called the warden and checked, is he doing okay? And, you know, does he need anything kind of a thing? The details in this case are so important because, like I said, it would have been very simple. Somebody else could have spoken. It's not such a big deal that I spoke there. Everybody is just waiting for Swami, like I said. So, but then Swami will go to the extent for each devotee at that point. So he calls the warden, and then the warden said, Swami, he's doing okay, not too great. Swami said, tell him not to worry. I will send my car to the hostel. So Swami sends his car and driver to the hostel, and then I go to the mandir in the car. And as soon as I reach, Swami was at the time still staying in the old Prashantinilaya mandir. And he had already gone to Poonachandra Hall because that's where the program was. And as soon as I reached there, first thing, Swami opened the door and he asked me, come in. And he said, don't strain, you sit down. He went inside and brought a glass of water and gave it to me to drink. And then I drank water, and then he said, rest and you speak first, he said. Generally, when there are two people speaking, invariably when there are students, Swami makes the younger person speak first, and then the older person speaks after. I guess in this case, I'll speak after me. So it was decided, so Swami told me that drink water, you speak first, and as soon as you finish your talk, feel free to go back and take rest. He said, don't stay for discourse, it's pretty long, he told me. So the talks were about to start, and I went and spoke first. And as soon as I finished the talk, actually, it was in Poonachandra Hall, Swami immediately took his glass of water and gave it to me to drink, and he said, at that time also, he said, rest, don't worry too much. And before the next person who spoke, so the person who was speaking after me was another student, Swami told, tell everybody that Swami wanted him to speak. That is why he came and spoke in spite of being sick. So this is very beautiful in the sense that Swami does everything for you. In this case, you see from the details I mentioned to you. But at the end of it, he will give you the credit also for that. So that is to the extent he goes. And if you think about it, this one incident is enough for every devotee to kind of relive your closeness with Swami. We don't need hundreds of interviews, thousands of interviews, thousands of pictures. We don't need all that. That one moment when he has touched you, I think that is more than sufficient for our transformation. We shouldn't keep looking for, oh, is there a sign for this? Is there a sign for that? I think as long as he's touched us, I think that's the most beautiful thing. Another interesting thing when I mentioned Swami's attention to detail. So during the convocation, which is celebrated one day before Swami's birthday every year, it's celebrated in a very grand way. You see, we always have invariably prime ministers or presidents as the convocation chief guest. And I think this can only happen in Puttaparthi because it's because of Swami. There is nothing else. So there is this convocation plays which are done every year. And being part of the music group was such a wonderful opportunity because every day you get to sing every day. And in some way or the other, for Swami, it was extremely special when it came to the music group boys, in the sense that he used to have them be part of plays, be part of different songs, be part of music programs. If you think about it, in Puttaparthi, every day there is bhajan. Morning, evening, there will be bhajan. There will be special programs. So nothing else is, you know, more important than, you know, songs and bhajans, which is Namasmarana, I guess, the way to go. So in this case, so Swami had, so every year there will be a, you know, play, and then over 20 days, 30 days. Actually, yesterday, Eskumar sir mentioned how Swami, you know, listens to the songs ahead, and then, you know, same thing again and again, he'll listen to it just to make sure it's perfected. So that year for the play, one detail before that. So Swami, you know, goes through the play. He sometimes writes the script and everything, and he pays attention to all the details. So that year during the vacation, there is like a 10-day vacation during that time, just between the semesters and before Swami's birthday. And actually, I had gone home for vacation. Invariably, students used to try to stay back more during vacation because even those who go, the remaining students get much closer opportunity to Swami. So there is never a limit. I guess you always want to be as close as to him as possible. And I had gone home for a couple of days, and as soon as I reached home, the warden calls home and says, Swami wants you to come back. Now, it's very important that we have the right people around us, I guess, when it comes to spirituality. Because I asked my mother that I want to stay for 2 more days, just 2 days. I have not come home in a long time, and I was about 12 years old at that time. So then my mother said, Swami has called you. There is no second thing. You have to go. So that's where I said, it's very important that, you know, the person we have, if it's a husband or a wife or a kids or, you know, father, mother, I think as long as everybody's in sync to support the same point, viewpoint, it makes it so much easier on the spiritual path. So Swami has called, you need to go. So pretty much I left within a couple of hours of coming. And next day morning, we went to, Swami called me inside the interview room. And then he said, for this year, for the convocation, we are going to have a Telugu play. So invariably, Telugu plays are pretty rare. We often have only English plays. So that year, Swami said, we'll have a Telugu and an English play. But he said, you have to play a part in the Telugu play. And it was on Markandeya, actually. The story of Markandeya, who many of you may know, is, he's a great devotee of Lord Shiva, who lived... He was born after, you know, a boon was given to the parents, where do you want a child who will live for a short time but be a good child, versus you'll have a child who will live for a long time. So they had that option, and then they picked the good child. And then so he was born, but then he had to die when he was 16. But then at the time, God comes and saves him. So that's the story from the Hindu Puranas, actually, of Markandeya. And the play was, Swami had already written the script, but there were two challenges there. One was the play was in Telugu, and Telugu is not my native tongue. So to talk Telugu, and in Puttaparthi, if you notice, like from the songs we sang yesterday, everybody has a different mother tongue. So the common language we all speak between ourselves is English. So there is no chance for us to learn Telugu unless colloquially, if you learn here and there as a language or listen to Swami's discourse, we understand. I guess you don't need to be a Telugu person to understand Swami's discourse. But anyway, so there was no chance for us to learn Telugu as much, but so it was a big challenge, and it was one of the important roles, so there was a number of dialogues which I had to learn. The second challenge was, Swami said, it's a lady's role. So I needed to wear a sari and things like that. It's the role of Markandeya's mother, which was my part in the play. So these were two tough challenges, but then, you know, you see the reward also at the end. Swami said, if you do these two things, I will come and tie the sari for you. So that was perfect. Okay. So he said, I will come before the play and I will tie the sari for you. And he was very particular that I tie the sari, like how Anjali Devi tied the sari in Bhakta Tukaram movie in a Maharashtrian style. So he said, I will come and help you with it. Anyway, so the play was all set and the practices went on. Swami came for the practices. And on the 22nd, when the play was, after the convocation was over, Swami came backstage to help me with the sari. And he tied the sari and then he told me, put on jewels. Well, your husband only is a sannyasi. You don't have to worry about it. So he put these jewels around me and then went and sat. That year, Dr. Shankardayal Sharma, who was the president of India at the time, he was the chief guest. So Swami was sitting next to him. This was in the Shanti Vedika, that is the Hillview Stadium. And the play started. And the first act was going on. That was in that act, essentially, it is the father and mother of Markandeya talk. And, you know, they don't have a child. So they're praying to God, saying, please give me a child. Give us a child. So that is the scene. And it was going on. And Swami was sitting there with all these big dignitaries. And suddenly, at the end of the first act, the warden comes running up to me and says, Swami's saying that your trousers are being seen from below the sari. So I was wearing actually a red sari and the trousers were brown in color. So it's all pretty close to the skin color. And it was way up there. And I was thinking Swami's discussing issues of national interest with Shankardayal Sharma there. And at the same time, he's noticing my trousers being seen from below the sari. Anyway, the only point here is he knows everything that goes on. And he's sitting there, you know, paying attention to the smallest of things and paying attention to the largest of things. Sometimes he may choose to ignore it. Sometimes he will point it out to you. But the point for us to know is he's always watching. I think that's the key here. Anyway, so this particular thing happened. So that this incident, I just wanted to mention that to that level, Swami is kind of involved in every sense of the term. Another time, actually, what happened was the students in the higher secondary school had set up an exhibition. And the way things are in Puttaparthi is anything and everything you want it to be touched by Swami. You buy a new notebook, you show it to Swami. You buy a new pen, you want Swami to write with it first. You buy something else, you show it to Swami first. So anything and everything, and I think that's the best place to be because from every perspective, there is no bad influence at all. And our only motivation is to please Swami. I think so that way, physically, I think it's a very deluding thing. But when you're close to Swami, I think that's all we think all the time. So the students of the higher secondary school had set up this science exhibition and they wanted Swami to come and inaugurate the exhibition. So like anything and everything, Swami is the one who will, you know, come and inaugurate and, you know, we want Swami to come and see everything. So Swami comes at the appointed time and he goes through the different exhibits. And there was this boy who was in 8th grade and he had set up this beautiful, it was a science exhibition, but depicting spirituality in some way. So he had set up this burglar alarm. So we know how burglar alarm works. So there is an infrared light and if you cut the infrared light, immediately the alarm goes off. So this was a pretty straightforward model and he had tested it a few times. So Swami came and he asked, what do you want me to do? So he says, Swami, put your hand here. So he didn't explain anything. He just said, put your hand there. And Swami puts his hand there and the alarm doesn't go off. So then he tries it himself. But once he tried it, he needed to explain. So he said, Swami, it's a burglar alarm and I wanted you to put your hand here. So he tries and immediately the alarm goes on. So again, he wanted Swami to do it. So his only goal was Swami should put and the alarm should turn on. So Swami did it again. And this went on for a few times. And every time Swami put, it didn't go on. So immediately, Swami smiled at him and he said, no. I am not a real world burglar. I am a burglar of your hearts. So that's... So I'm a burglar of your hearts, which is what we sing in bhajans, right? Chitta Chora, which means one who has stolen our hearts. I think that's the beautiful message. And at the time, actually, it's a pretty similar an inauguration setup. In the primary school, the solar hot water panels were set up for the first time in Puttaparthi. And again, the same thing. So you want Swami to come inaugurate. Swami said, I will come. After bhajans are over in the morning, he said he will come. And Swami also tries to spend as much time as with the students so that he can also give them all the blessing and all the love and all the teaching, I guess, at every point. Two things of Swami always stand up for me. Whenever I think of Swami, we say God should have this. He comes with four hands. He has all these powers, blessings. He creates this, materializes this. All these things are, you know, Maya from the perspective of it's all illusion. Two things are divine qualities in my mind which stand out about Swami is his attention to detail or achieving perfection. I think everything Swami tries at the max, like I mentioned, to the extent details, and I'm sure he wants us to do that. Try our best to achieve, you know, the best possible thing. If you're setting up an event, do the best possible retreat. If you're setting up something else, do the best you can. And at the same time, once the event is over, Swami will just drop it like the handkerchief. His detachment is also pretty instant. So it's not something like, I often give this example that when we set up a birthday party for our child, we will talk about it for, you know, 10 years later, how wonderful that party was. We had 500 people and, you know, the food was great. So that's how we often live in the past, getting attached to our own actions. But these are verily divine qualities where you achieve perfection and you should have instant detachment. I think those are extremely spiritual qualities in my mind. Anyway, Swami came for this inauguration of this hot water panel system. And the way it was supposed to work was, you know, the water goes through the solar panels. And once it comes out heated, you turn on the tap and immediately the hot water is supposed to come. So Swami came, he asked, what do you want me to do? So they said, Swami, you need to open the tap and the first hot water out of these panels will come. And Swami turns on the tap. And instead of water going down, it went all over the place. So the tap was faulty, essentially. And it went all over Swami. It went all over his hair. And it was, but the bad thing was, this is sometimes in situations like this, you don't know how to react. Now, it's hot water, and it's all over Swami, too. So it's a very bad situation, and nobody can do anything at that point. Think about this situation. You can't act in any way. So immediately, everybody was stunned, actually. Just stood there. And Swami immediately smiled and said, not only I inaugurated, I had the first shower too. So these are things we always learn from Swami. Actually, I'll mention one last story and then I'll allow Sai to talk. This is a beautiful story which I'm sure some of you already know this actually, but I'll repeat it because there is so much learning and lesson from this. Once Swami was traveling from Vrindavan to Puttaparthi back, and he was traveling in his car, and Swami was sitting in the back seat. The only person in the front was the driver, and he was driving through, you know, the Karnataka and then go into Andhra. So it is pretty much deserted, those roads. It's a national highway. And it was a hot afternoon, and it appeared to the driver that Swami was closing his eyes and sleeping. He was thinking, oh, Swami's resting. So Swami's eyes were also closed. So it was going for some time, and suddenly something happened on the road. There was a snake which passed by. And it was too late for the driver. He didn't know whether he should brake or he should just go over the snake, and which would kill the snake pretty much. So it is a problem here, because if he brakes, he thought he will disturb Swami because Swami's eyes were closed. But at the same time, if he doesn't do anything, he's going to run over that. He pretty much knew that. So in this case, he just decided, I don't want to disturb Swami. I will just go. So he just went over. And he reaches Puttaparthi, but still inside he's feeling bad that such a thing happened. As soon as he reached Puttaparthi, Swami calls for him and says, asked him to come inside the interview room. And Swami takes off his robe and shows him his back, actually. And on the back, there is a tire mark on the back. And Swami said, the snake is safe. He said, don't worry. So this lesson, I mean, this is a beautiful, of course, it shows Swami's love for anything and everything, not merely human beings, but animals and the whole world, I guess. Very often we think Swami's come only for us, but I think he's come for so many, 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 many life forms on this earth. And I think that's the first lesson. But the second most important lesson is, whenever we are in a situation in life where we don't know one way or the other way to go, just go with the way Swami would want us to. Will this please Swami or not? And if you choose Swami's way or choose Swami, you cannot go wrong. He will take care of the rest. I think that's the most beautiful, because very often in life we are faced with such difficulties. But it's important to just go the way Swami would want us to. Would it please Swami or not? I think that's the way to act. Like both Janima and Kalasu said, nobody is in a position to advise or nobody is in a position to give a discourse. I think the only thing matters is us, how we feel inside. And the God inside us will, give us that conscience to make the right decision. And we should trust ourselves more than anything and everything. Sairam, thank you very much for this opportunity.